Καλωσορίσατε σε ένα.
Welcome to another Discover Crete podcast. Today we are lucky to take a musical journey into the heart of Crete. Through the sounds and melodies of its traditional music. Crete is a land full of history, tradition and passion, and nothing expresses it better than its music. The Cretan lira, with its deep and moving sound, is not just a musical instrument, it's a symbol. Today we are pleased to host someone who has dedicated his life to Cretan music. Nikos Maniudakis. Nikos, welcome. We are so happy to have you here.
Hello, Eolia. It's a pleasure for me too, and thank you very much for the invitation.
I'd like to start by asking you to tell us a bit about yourself and how you started playing the lira.
With pleasure. I started at the age of 9, although I had been listening to Cretan music at home long before that. From the moment I was born, really, because my whole family was deeply immersed in Cretan music. On my father's side, there were many music lovers, so there were always gatherings and celebrations. On my mother's side, I was lucky to have a grandfather, may he rest in peace, who used to make musical instruments. So there were always instruments around the house. This combination gradually led me to start playing at 9 years old.
So you had both, the sounds and the memories.
I started with Georgios Skoutalis, who was my first teacher, but I didn't stay with him long, 6 or 7 months. After that, I continued on my own because I had the ability to pick up the pieces by listening to cassette tapes. I would listen and figure out the songs, so little by little I continued on my own.
That gives me the perfect opportunity to ask you, do you believe a musician is someone who is born with a natural talent, or do you think anyone can acquire the skills and mastery over time through dedication?
I've often wondered about that myself, especially since I also teach Cretan music, lira and mandolin to young children. So this question is always on my mind. I think a large part of it is inborn. It's a way of thinking. Not everyone perceives things the same way. And because being a musician, and music in general, requires a certain way, or rather, maybe not a specific way, but a kind of perception, we may see things differently. It's partly the hands and the mind's ability. But I believe that what matters most for someone to become a musician is experience. That's the most important. When the ears are soaked in music, so to speak, one day, like a sponge, you squeeze it and music comes out. I think both play a role.
And perhaps it's also a lifestyle choice, especially in Cretan music. I know that being a professional lira player comes with certain demands.
Yes, now we're talking about a different aspect, the professional side. Earlier we were talking as if someone was just playing music for themselves.
As an amateur.
Yes, exactly. But when you want to turn it into a profession, it definitely comes with various difficulties.
What are the challenges of the profession?
The hard part is that 90 to 95% of the work happens at night, late at night, or even at dawn. You end up coming home at sunrise. I think that's the hardest part, along with the dangers that come with being out at night. But there's more. You're constantly exposed, always out on the road. That's the main thing. As a professional, I always think, you're constantly on the move.
I see.
Now, as for being at the celebrations, well, it's nice. Of course, it has its bad moments, but most of them are good.
Right, let's now talk a bit specifically about Cretan music. What makes it different from other traditional music? What's so special about it? Would you say improvisation plays a role?
Yes, improvisation is a big part of it, you're absolutely right. But I think it's also the constant creation of new ideas and pieces based on the patterns, as I call them, of Cretan music. The younger generations never stop building on what they inherited from the old ones, constantly creating new songs. I think that's what makes Cretan music stand out from the rest of Greece. Though lately, you see other parts of Greece doing the same, creating new songs, and it's becoming a trend. They're also bringing old songs back into the spotlight. I guess you could say they're kind of imitating us.
So, would you say cretin music is a living organism?
Of course.
That keeps evolving. But how do you think this evolution happens properly? Does tradition and authenticity remain, or does it risk taking a direction that spoils something good?
Nothing is really authentic anymore. And I'm not just talking about music. Whatever you look at, everything has changed and evolved along with daily life. That's more or less what happened with music too.
The reason I ask is because nowadays it's a bit of a trend to mix cretin music with jazz or even a bit of rock.
That's just blending. It's not a bad thing. It's experimentation. The issue is when it comes to authenticity. Even in the past, cretin music was probably strongly influenced by music from Asia Minor, by the refugees who came. That has always been the case.
Things always change and transform. Can you describe for our listeners the main instruments in traditional cretin music? Of course, the lira is the star.
Right. On the edges of Crete, there's also the violin, the lauto, which can be both a solo and an accompanying instrument. And over time, the guitar was also introduced, and we also had percussion, like the small drum, the sitar-style drum. From the very early days, there were also wind instruments, like thympolia and a skomandura. Over time, as our music evolved, the bass has also been added.
In the context of the changes we mentioned earlier, what makes the cretin lira so special as an instrument? You must have chosen it for a reason. What is it that makes people love the lira so much and recognize it instantly?
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's the sound, the tone quality. It gives you freedom. You're not boxed in. If you think about it, it's fretless, unlike the guitar or the lauto, which have frets that limit you. Here, it's a free instrument. You slide your nail across the string, you don't press it with the fingertip, just with the nail, and I believe it lets your soul pour out. You release what's inside you.
Play a little for us now that you're here.
With pleasure.
Nikos is holding the lira now. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
That was Vruntizanos Skopos, a piece I composed myself. It's a song about my village, Zaros, which is near the Vruntisi Monastery. And in a way, the lyrics connect Vruntisi Monastery with Zaros, through the plane trees. There are huge trees there.
So you also compose your own pieces?
Of course, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Like we said earlier, we all try to add our own little contribution and offer something new to the music of our land.
What I'm wondering is, from a technical point of view, is it difficult to play the lira?
It is difficult, yes. As I told you before, you touch it with your nail. Just a fraction of a millimeter higher or lower, or the pressure you apply, changes the pitch. it's not like with fretted instruments, where wherever you press inside the fret, you get the same sound. The pitch doesn't change, because the note essentially starts from the fret and beyond. So wherever you press inside that box, it's the same. But here, depending on how you place your nail, even if your finger tilts slightly, everything changes. It changes everything, changes the sound.
Very interesting.
Also, the bow. How you draw the sound from it.
And the pressure.
Exactly, the pressure.
What is the lyre bow made of? It has hairs.
Yes. In the past it was horsehair, now it's more synthetic.
That changed too.
Right, like we said.
I'd like to focus a bit on how traditional Cretan music fits into daily life on Crete, but also into the special moments in life. Here in Crete, we've closely tied joyful occasions with music. Having a wedding, a christening, or a celebration for any happy occasion is inseparably linked to Cretan music and the lyre.
Yes, absolutely. I think Cretans have connected Cretan music even to simple gatherings with friends, where we take out the instruments and start playing.
In everyday life.
In everyday life, exactly as you say, but also during major happy moments. And sometimes, even in sad moments, the lyre is played. It has become part of life.
Yes, with a different sound, a different tone.
Exactly.
What would you say is the most emotional moment you've experienced while playing the lyre? Because I know you don't only play in Crete, you get invited all over Greece.
Yes.
Do you have a particular memory that stands out?
There are many. You give me a good opportunity to say that, apart from Crete, we've often played abroad as well. All over the world, America, Australia, Finland, Brussels, Germany, everywhere. The emotions there are very intense. Because you see, second and third generation kids dancing better than us. They may not even speak Greek anymore, the language might be lost, but the dancing. It's incredible to see kids who may never have visited Crete dance like that.
The way you describe it, it's spine-tingling.
Even as I speak about it now, I get very emotional.
How do music and dance connect? One depends on the other. You just can't listen to this music and not want to dance.
Of course, you can, but when it's combined, then it really creates, let's say, an explosion.
Based on what you said about playing abroad, I'd like to ask you, Greeks living abroad, with roots in Greece, naturally interact with the music. But what about foreigners? When they hear Cretan music and the lyre, what kind of feedback have you received? Do they like it?
Our music naturally has a dynamic character and a rhythm that even if someone doesn't know what they're hearing or understand the lyrics, you see that it captivates them. Recently we were playing in Pitsidia, where 95% of the people were tourists. It's a tourist spot, there was a village celebration. And really, as I said, 95% were tourists. And it was amazing to see them clapping along at their tables. And when our people got up to dance, the tourists joined in. And within 1 or 2 hours, they had learned the steps and were dancing too.
That's really interesting.
It is. Our music, I think, has great power, and that's why it will never fade away. Definitely not.
This was actually a question I wanted to ask you, a prediction about the future of Cretan music.
Like I said, I think it has such strength that I don't believe it will ever fade. Really. I don't know what form it will take in the years to come. I don't think anyone knows that. But for sure, with all the recordings that exist and the way it's passed down from the older to the newer generations, I believe this will continue as long as there are Cretans. It definitely won't be lost. I'm sure of that.
And one last question before we wrap up. What would you advise someone who wants to get to know Cretan music better? Or even start learning how to play it?
Well, to say that someone could fully learn Cretan music, I think even two or three lifetimes wouldn't be enough. You need to dedicate your whole life to it, day and night. That's how rich it is. There's so much to discover that one lifetime isn't enough for all of it. Realistically, though, it's important to start with the old masters. To see how the music used to be, to absorb all of that. But that's not easy. For someone today to start listening to the old masters, to listen to the crackling of the vinyl and all that, it's not the most pleasant thing for someone who doesn't already have the bug, if I may say so. They'll probably enter through more commercial songs, something that attracts them. And over time, they will discover it on their own. Then they'll find the roots of the music. And I believe they'll be enchanted by its richness. When they start from the very beginning. And by beginning I mean the first recordings. Because that's what we're hearing now. But of course, music existed even before all that.
And there's a wide range in Cretan music, because I know that Eastern and Western Crete have differences.
Yes, of course. The Eastern style is softer, more melodic. While the further west you go, the playing becomes wilder, more powerful.
Rafa.
Yes.
So that's another thing someone can discover.
That's what I'm saying, one lifetime isn't enough if you want to dive into it.
Nikos, thank you so much.
Thank you too.
I hope we talk again soon.